First of all, I want to say how grateful I am that one of our focus groups stepped in last week, and I even listened to some of those reflections this morning, and it's just a good thing to have a community where people can step in and bring God's word and reflect on it. And actually, those reflections asked some of the very same questions last week that I was thinking about for this week. And so I hope I'm not too redundant from what you all presented last weekend. I'd like to ask all of you a question. How many of you feel sometimes like there aren't enough hours in the day? Anyone? Have you ever said that? Said, just aren't enough hours in the day. Just to think about that for a moment. And what we're actually saying when we say there aren't enough hours in the day. If the problem is the length of the day, then the one responsible for our problems is the one who is in charge of the length of the day. And the one who is in charge of the length of the day is God. So really, our issue that we're taking up when we say there are just aren't enough hours in the day is that God hasn't given us enough time. When we think about that, that sounds a little counter what we would really want to say, counter to our faith, right? I would suggest that the problem is that we are not lacking in hours. There are plenty of hours in it. What we are lacking in when we say that, and when we go through our day-to-day life where there aren't enough hours, what we're lacking in is faith. We are lacking the belief and the trust that the with God life, the life that God has called us to, can truly fulfill us. And so, as we continue this series, enough, what we need to say is enough to all the activities, enough to the over-scheduling of our lives, and to grasp the truth that we will only find and experience enough, we will only be content when we live life in the love of God, and that that is our primary goal. I want to point out two ways I think we see our lack of trust evidenced in our calendars. Two things that our calendars, our schedules tend to lack that show that bring us to this point where there aren't enough hours in the day. And the first symptom of our lack of trust is that we don't trust God enough to rest. To rest. To have Sabbath. This is one of the reasons we say there aren't enough hours in the day, because we're so tired we don't have time to sleep. Really, we're not taking the time to rest. And we do that because of these various stories that are told in our culture. Things like, time is money. This is something I was always told as an athlete. The coaches would always say, if you're not working right now, someone out there is working to be better than you are. Or the story that is told in all households, I think, I'm bored. We hate being bored, right? These are the little lines and stories that form our hearts and inform how we make our schedules. These are the cultural refrains that keep us going and doing and feeling the need to do more. And these are the refrains that lead us into activities that will alleviate these circumstances. If time is money, then we need to be putting all of our time into things. Sorry about my mic. I can't get it around my ear quite right. Hope you be patient with me. We do things that lead us into activities that will make us money, because time is money. So that's what we do. We do activities that will help us to achieve success compared to others. If someone else is out there working hard, I better be out there working harder so I can be better, so I can be more successful than them. And we put our time into doing things that will make us feel some sense of adventure, that will be fun, that will fill up our time with these type of things. And so I ask you, are these the type of activities that fill up your schedule? If you look at your calendar, is it filled with things that will bring you security, financial security? that will make you feel successful and that will allow you to have fun? Are those the things that fill up your calendar? When we come to the command that God gives us to rest, to take Sabbath, to take a day off, I think a lot of us feel like God is imposing on all of these other things that we think we should be doing. All of these desires to feel secure and successful, the command to have rest and Sabbath imposes on those things. And it does. God is imposing on these lives that we are used to living by telling us to rest. Because rest and the day of rest, its intention actually, is to take us away from things that earn money. Rest is intentionally saying, I am not going to do things that produce money, that earn a living. We're supposed to take time off from doing quote-unquote productive things. Because at the heart of it, while we are doing things to make money for our security, God tells us that more money is not the way to security, to feeling secure and at peace. And so we take rest. And when we rest, someone else may very well be out there working harder to be better than us. And that's okay. Because our job in this life, according to God, is not to be better than everyone else, or to achieve more than everyone else, or to be more successful than everyone else, but to be loved and to live in that love. And rest and Sabbath may even mean that we say no to things that are fun and adventurous. And that's okay. Because we need that rest to really live the mission that we've been given, which is not just to amuse ourselves to death. So, in the Ten Commandments, which of course we all try to live by, above murder and stealing and adultery and lying, above all of those, above honoring your father and mother, is keep the Sabbath. Rest. Stop. Enough with the activities. And so, to counter this one symptom of our lack of trust, we need to be saying at times enough to all of the activities where we normally go to seek security and success and fun, and to take a day and to take time to find those things in Christ, where God has promised them. That's the first symptom, that we often don't trust God enough to rest, and that is evidenced in our calendars. The second symptom is this, of our lack of trust. We don't trust God enough to devote ourselves to his path of love. We don't trust God enough to do the things that truly make us more loving people. Okay? I think that the biggest problem in the church, the biggest problem really in any of our lives, so you might want to write this down, the biggest problem, I was just kind of joking, just pay attention at least. The biggest problem in the church for Christians in this world, in our culture, in any culture, is that we don't really believe Jesus. We believe in Jesus. We believe that Jesus existed. We might believe that Jesus will someday take us to heaven. But we don't really believe Jesus. We don't believe that love works. We don't believe that God's love is what we most desperately and deeply need. We don't believe that fully devoting ourselves to a life of loving others is practical. It's like an ideal. Oh yeah, we should love other people, right? We believe that it's an ideal, but we don't believe it's practical to really devote our whole lives to love. And we don't believe Jesus when he says that love is the greatest thing that you can do with your life. When Jesus says the greatest commandment is to love God and to love our neighbor, we don't really believe that that's the best thing we can do with our lives. And I say that as a we thing, not a you thing, not as you people in the pews. I say that as a we thing. We kind of believe it, and we, to some extent we believe it, but I'm really wrestling with this. Do I really believe Jesus when he says that the way of love, the life of love, love of God and love of neighbor, is the best life you can possibly live, the most important thing you can do with your life? If we believe that, we wouldn't fill up our schedules with activities that make us feel more secure financially and successful and to have more fun. We would fill up our schedules, or at least we would sprinkle our schedules with activities that allow us to rest in God's love and grow in love towards others. So in our passage today, 2 Peter 1, there's this line in verse 5. He says, "For this very reason, you must make every effort." Make every effort. Okay, so I thought about that phrase, and I thought, I wonder if there are other places where the Bible uses that phrase. And I looked up, and I have a few of them, where either Jesus or someone else tells us to make every effort, because that's a pretty strong command, right? And here's what God says, the scriptures say, to make every effort to do. Luke 13, make every effort, Jesus says, to enter through the narrow door into the kingdom of God. Romans 14, Paul says, make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual building up, to build up one another. In Ephesians 4, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace within the church. Hebrews 4, make every effort to enter into God's rest. Hebrews 12, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy, because without holiness, no one will see the Lord. 2 Peter 1, 5, make every effort to support your faith with goodness, and goodness with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, self-control with endurance, endurance with godliness, godliness with mutual affection, and mutual affection with what? Ultimately, with love. 2 Peter 1:10, make every effort to confirm your calling and your election. 2 Peter 1:15, Peter says he will make every effort so that the people he's writing to will remember these things that we're just talking about. In 2 Peter 3, he says, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with God. When you look at your calendar, and when you hear this command to make every effort for these type of things, do those things square, go together? Would you say that the activities that you do, the things that you do, the way you use your time, is making every effort to ultimately become a person who lives in God's love, rests in God's love, and acts out that love to other people? This is how to spend your life if you want to experience the feeling of enoughness, of being fulfilled and content. You see, we're not wrong, ultimately, in wanting to experience security and success and adventure. These are all good things. Where we go wrong is looking for these things apart from the places where God has promised them. Looking for security apart from God's grace. Looking for success apart from God's love. Looking for an adventure and fun apart from the mission that God has called us to. So here's the gospel. Here's the good news today. That God has taken away from you and me the burden of making ourselves feel secure and successful and fulfilled. And he has offered them to us as a gift. God has invited us to experience security and success and fulfillment in him. we can be secure. We can be rock solid because Jesus has come and died on the cross for us. And it's not because of how good we are or what we've done in the past or any of those things. It's not because of any of that. We can be secure because God's love is constant and faithful. That's our security. We can be successful, not because of the things that we do and accomplish, but because God has filled his people with the Spirit that bears the fruit of love and joy and peace. We don't have to be bored, because God always in his kingdom has new horizons with which we can enter into other people's lives and help them to experience love and hope in new and different ways. We must simply trust this gospel, this good news. We must simply believe it and say enough to the overscheduling. And I'm particularly looking right in this front area where a lot of our families are gathered, okay? Because there is that temptation as families. We have to have all these activities so our kids can be as successful and secure and as amused as possible, right? What we need is to practice rest. To rest in God's love. To take time and reflect on what great things God has done for us in Jesus. What we need is to devote our time to the most important things, which are to love God and to grow in our love for others. So here's what I want to suggest, and we'll be talking about this more as the year goes on. I want to suggest that everyone in this community clears up in your schedules, in your calendars, not just adds to, but clears space for 2 slots per week. Okay? So remember our vision, living the gospel life together as we glorify, grow, and glow. Okay? I want you to clear 2 slots in your week. One to glorify, one to worship. It's like Sunday morning, what we're doing today. Like every week, like that is a rock in the stream. All of the water of your schedule flows around that rock. That one day a week, you are worshiping God with his people. 1 slot to rest in God's love, to be fully present, soaking in God's goodness and singing his praises with his people. And a 2nd slot during the week to grow as a disciple, specifically with a focus group community. This is where we train with each other to live the gospel life so that we can grow in our capacity together to love God and to love our neighbors. We can't do it alone. We need to train for that. We are not just naturally loving, sacrificing, giving, sharing people. We need to be together and grow in that. So that's what I'm suggesting. 2 slots in your schedule. If this is the most important thing you can do with your life, look at all the things you do. Are there 2 slots? One to glorify God in worship, one to grow as a disciple with a small group. Now, I don't know what God has for the rest of the slots in your calendar. That's kind of up to you. Well, it's actually kind of up to you after you've done the glorify and grow thing, and God will help you to see how to use those slots. But if you don't clear space for at least these 2 things, for worship and for growing as a disciple, then I'm not sure that the rest of those slots are going to be as meaningful and fulfilling and bring you the contentment that God can give you as you live for him. We need those things. What are you making every effort to accomplish? For yourself? What are you making every effort to accomplish for your family, for your kids? What does your schedule tell you, your calendar tell you, that you're making every effort to accomplish? God has called us to make every effort to live in the kingdom of his love. This is a kingdom that anyone can enter. There are no entrance fees or exams or resumes required. All that is required to enter into this kingdom is to trust, to believe that in this kingdom, in the presence of Christ, this kingdom's King, is where you can be fulfilled and secure in God's love. This is where you can bear the good fruit and accomplish the good things God has given you. This is where, in this kingdom, is where you can live the life that you were created to live. Let's pray. God, who is love, I say on behalf of all of us that we believe and that we need help to believe. That it's okay to say enough to all of the activities that fill our lives and that wear us out. Help us to believe that in saying yes to your kingdom, and yes to worship, and yes to discipleship, and yes to your mission, Lord, that is where we can truly find fulfillment and be content. Help us to really believe that. And help us to order our lives in a way that takes these things that we believe and allows those to guide us. Lord, this is our prayer, that you would help us to rest in your love and that you would grow us in our capacity to love you and to love others. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.